Well, questions to consider in light of the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. If you take the order of worship out of the bulletin and turn those over, you see, again, three lengthy questions and answers. For the sake of time this morning, I just want to use this first question. But maybe a couple weeks ago, you heard as we were thinking about the Lord's Supper, the Catechism introduced this idea of the keys of the kingdom in terms of fencing the table or how the elders should keep from the table those who ought not to come and invite those who are in Christ to participate. This idea of the keys of the kingdom was introduced. And so today we're going to be considering these keys, the preaching of the gospel, which opens to believers and closes to unbelievers, and church discipline, which closes to unbelievers and opens to believers. Again, we don't have time to look at all of these, but I encourage you to do so this afternoon, even in preparation for this evening's service. But let's read question 83 responsively. What are the keys of the kingdom? The preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline towards repentance. Both preaching and discipline open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. And then it goes on to ask how preaching and then discipline does that work. Tonight we'll be looking at Matthew 18 in connection with that. So we learn how Christians and how the church should treat sinners who are unrepentant. Well, now let's turn to our scripture reading. We're working through the book of Acts, and today we kind of hit the halfway point. We're at the end of chapter 14. And if you remember, we're looking at this first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas have been sent off from the church in Antioch to preach the gospel in a new way to the Gentiles. If you remember that kind of table of context from chapter 1:8. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we've been watching that progression. And here with this first missionary journey, we see this play out in a remarkable, powerful, special way. And today we see this conclusion of this missionary journey, where Paul and Barnabas have been preaching and have been persecuted, and yet the church is established among the Gentiles. Our focus this morning will be on Acts 14, beginning in verse 21, and then reading through verse 28. And by way of context, remember that Paul's just been stoned, and then he's been preaching in Derbe. And as he's been preaching in Derbe, we read this. When they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. This is God's word. Let's pray that he would add his blessing to it. Father, we ask that you would bless your word this morning, that by your Spirit you would speak to us, that we might see the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ even as by his Spirit you established the church among the Gentiles, so that even today, so many thousands of years later, we still benefit from that deep and rich grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With the triple-digit temperatures that we've seen this week, I must have said, shut the door 500 times. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the idea. We often use this idea of shutting the door, whether it's to keep the heat out or to keep unwanted guests out. In contrast, a few weeks ago, we would open the house wide open when the temperatures were cool in the morning, as if it were an invited guest into our home. Well, Paul uses this kind of analogy, this kind of metaphor, concerning the preaching of the gospel. He speaks in numerous places about an open door for the gospel. And we see this especially in this passage, but in a number of other places in his letters, usually asking the people of God that they would pray for an open door for the gospel. And we see this at the end of this first missionary journey, as they kind of give a missionary update at the end, that they rejoice and remark that the Lord has opened a door of faith, that in this kind of final phase, the gospel goes out to the Gentiles, and the door is open to them that they may enter the kingdom of God and enter it through faith. That door is still open today, but that gate is narrow, we might say. There's only one way in, and it's only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message that Paul proclaimed in these missionary journeys is the same one we proclaim today. That you must come in. But the only means of entrance is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about this missionary journey and really the establishment of the church, and in a sense, this is kind of a wrap-up section of this first journey, we see a number of things that I want to draw your attention to. Lessons that we can appreciate in terms of the grace of God as he brings the gospel to the Gentiles, but also lessons that we can learn concerning the life of the church today, what we might benefit from, and how we might order our lives as disciples. So as we think about this kind of summary passage, an open door, I want you to first see that there is encouragement added. Secondly, there are elders appointed. And finally, ending in Antioch. Encouragement added, elders appointed, ending in Antioch. Dear brothers and sisters, it has been a tumultuous couple of years, hasn't it? Between fires and COVID and politics and culture, many of you, I know, feel pressed in on many sides. As Christians, this can happen anyway, regardless of what's going on more broadly. We can all face difficult trials and challenges, whether it's in the family or at work or in our homes, whatnot. And then you add those layers of challenges. We need encouragement, don't we? Now think about the church that Paul's planted in these different cities, churches that immediately face persecution, as the one who's brought them the gospel is run out of the city or even stoned, as we saw last week. Fledgling bodies need encouragement. And remarkably, we see Paul, in his commitment to bring the Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ, goes back to these very cities from which he was run out to bring encouragement, to help them to be further established in the grace of God, to give them order, and to call them to persevere. Even as today, you, dear brothers and sisters, are called to persevere, to be encouraged in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep on knowing that it is through various trials and persecutions that we enter the kingdom of God. Are you discouraged? Are you weak, weary, and worn? Today, this morning, look to Christ and be encouraged. We do see in this a remarkable commitment on Paul's part to the church of Jesus Christ. He's been planting, establishing, making disciples, and now at the end of this journey, he doesn't go the quick way home. If you look at the map of this first missionary journey and you see where he ends up, it would be a much quicker route to take a well-established road and go home. After all the persecution that he's faced, that would make sense. Maybe still nursing those wounds, whatever they had, ibuprofen, I don't know. But does he do that? No. He goes back the way he came to encourage the saints. Remarkably, as they make disciples, they continue to encourage them. We see this in verse 22, especially they're strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, but also reminding them, maybe exhorting them, that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So we see this layering of aspects of encouragement, strengthening, and exhortation. Things that we all need in our daily lives to be encouraged to keep pressing on. We're confronted with challenges intellectually, spiritually, physically, emotionally, culturally. But these are not new to Christians. Christians in every age have faced these same kinds of challenges, and they present tribulations for the believer. We face them, and we need encouragement. Today, we called to office three men to step into that place to bring to you leadership, encouragement, that you, the body of Christ, might be strengthened, that you might persevere, that you might be reminded that though you face troubles and tribulations, it is only through these that we have entrance to the kingdom of God. But even in this, we do see that there is an entrance. We've been looking at this open door idea. And this shouldn't be something we pass by too quickly. As Paul's encouraging, strengthening, look at this encouragement and exhortation, where he says it's through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. He's not saying that we have to look for tribulation, to put our place in the midst of tribulation. But he is saying, as we've seen recently, even as he himself is a model of life lived in the shadow of the cross, as the church is formed in the shape of a cross, as it were, in the shape of suffering, that this is the only way of discipleship, an entrance into the kingdom of God. So today, you've come to the kingdom of God by grace and by faith. And may the Lord God himself, by his grace, sustain, establish, and encourage you to persevere through the midst of troubles, tribulations, and trials. Well, in the second place, we see elders appointed. Again, today, we've had the privilege of ordaining to the office of elder two brothers to help to ensure that the ministry of the word is pure, the ministry of the sacraments is right and true, that your lives are lives that are shepherded by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, the sheep, are properly fed and cared for, protected. Paul establishes this pattern in the churches. As he reroutes or goes back over this route, he goes back to these churches. Again, fledgling, still struggling. I mean, this is still 1 year maybe at the most. And he establishes men to serve as elders, to rule over the body of believers, and to serve them. This is remarkable, isn't it? Now, for some of you, this might seem strange. Well, where do you get that? Actually, you can trace this all the way through the scriptures. God's people have always had elders. You think about Moses and the people of Israel journeying through the wilderness. And Moses is overwhelmed. It's too much work for him. And so the people are broken down into smaller groups, and elders are appointed over these various groups. Or in every Jewish city, maybe you think of Ruth and Boaz, that great story where the elders meet at the gate. You see this pattern developing, and so then it's only natural that in the community of believers, that elders hold this place to rule and to govern God's people. We see this in the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 11. And now, even as the church is established among the Gentiles, and even among us today, that the office of elder is so crucial as a gift from Christ for his church, that we might be ruled well, that the gospel would be protected from false teaching, and that your lives would be encouraged as you live for him. Maybe you notice it's not just he appointed an elder in each city, but there's this plurality of eldership. There's wisdom among many counselors, and then there's qualifications of men who would serve in this office. We pointed you to those qualifications recently, but if you want to jot those down again, maybe you could look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, where we see the qualifications for men to serve in Christ's church in this office of elder. But as one author says, as much as the church is committed to the care of the elders, it's committed to the sure and strong hand of the Lord. As Paul, with prayer and fasting, commits them to the Lord in whom they believed. You see, a well-ordered church is one that uses these gifts that Christ himself has given to rule, to watch over, to protect, and to keep pure. Today, we give praise to God for his good gifts. We thank him for providing men with the qualifications to serve his church. And we pray that we'd have the humility to submit to them, to their rule, to their wisdom, even as they strive by the grace of Christ to fulfill their office. Well, in the third place this morning, we see this end in Antioch. Maybe you've gone to a service where a missionary has come into town to give a report. We've had this even here where someone has come off the field, maybe they're on furlough, and they give us a missions update. They tell us of the work that they've done, and they tell us what still needs to be done, and maybe the challenges they faced, but most especially of the privilege that's theirs of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a people group that's yet unreached. In a sense, as Paul and Barnabas come back to Antioch, the church from which they were commissioned, they come back and tell them of the grace of God. They tell them how the door has been opened to the Gentiles. Now, we might pause here and say, this is really remarkable. Our temptation would be to say, you guys would never believe the persecution. Paul got stoned. Look at his head. It's still bruised. But no. They're telling this church, these saints with whom their lives have been entwined, of the grace of God. How God has been working through the proclamation of the gospel to establish his church among the Gentiles. Again, this is a long journey. There was a quicker way home, as I mentioned before, but after hitting these other cities once more and even going to more cities, they come back to Antioch. They gather the church together. Again, this is another key point where in this culture, maybe especially in this valley, maybe in the Northwest, the idea of a church being very fluid. We see the early church being very formally established in each city with governance, so that even as Peter or Paul and Barnabas come back to Antioch, the church is gathered there together to hear the report of the work that they had fulfilled. Isn't that remarkable? This is how we know this is kind of like the end of the first missionary journey. They're sent out in Acts chapter 13. They make this circuit. They trace their steps back, hit a couple more cities, and then come and report about the work that has been completed. Knowing that it's not in their own strength, but by the grace of God. And then highlighting, emphasizing how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. We've seen through the book of Acts this progression. We've seen the natural flow where Paul and Barnabas would speak and preach first in the synagogue, where the people would know the scriptures and see Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises and prophecies. But now in these last sections, in cities where there's no synagogue, to proclaim Christ, to call people to repentance and faith, and to establish these outposts of the kingdom of God in these foreign cities. To say the door is open. The kingdom of God stands before you. Come in. You know, you greet guests, right? Someone you love and cherish. The door's open. Come in. And so today, even the gospel goes forth. As we proclaim Christ to a world dead in sins and transgressions, we proclaim a gospel of repentance. And we call the world to turn from their sins, to come in. Come in by faith. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and gain entrance to his kingdom. What a beautiful thing it is today that we still live in this reality. That by faith, you today have gained entrance to the kingdom of God by faith. And that ultimately, even through persecutions and tribulation, you will enter on that final day. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you've not come to faith, come in. Enter the kingdom of God by faith. Turn from your sins, repent of those false gods in your lives, trust the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins, and come in. The door is open, as long as it's called today. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give you praise and thanksgiving for your word and for the work in your church. We thank you that we have seen how beautiful your grace is, calling sinners out of the world, calling them from their sins to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved, to gain entrance into your everlasting kingdom. We ask, O Lord, that we, your people, would be encouraged and strengthened. Our lives are often difficult, filled with challenges, tribulations, trials. We ask that you would use your word and the offices you've established in your church to encourage your people, that we might be strengthened, that we would face tribulations with the grace that's needed. We pray that your church would be strengthened throughout the world, that it would be equipped to meet the challenges of different governments, different false religions, different physical temptations. That your church in this earth would be strong, established, firm, and secure. We pray that you would grant this by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.